When I share camp ministry for a couple reasons. One, when you are both a church member and supported missionary, there's some, I don't want to say awkwardness there, but you're sometimes not quite sure how to interact at that level. But the other aspect of sharing camp ministry here is that this church is so involved in the camp ministry, for which I'm grateful to God for. Just with a show of hands, how many have served just this past, well, let's just say in the past 10 years, have served in some capacity at Peniel Bible Camp? Raise your hand. In the past 10 years, how many of you have attended camp in some way, shape, or form, not just serving, but actually attending? So we actually, you could see a vast majority of those of you here are very familiar with the camp ministry. So this is not anything new that I'm sharing with you, but we do have some who are newer, and maybe you've just heard, well, yeah, we have camp. It's a great tool in the hands of the local church. What I want to do is share a little bit about, you know, what is that purpose of why we partner in camp ministries. You know, why does camp serve well the local church, and to what end are we striving to do that at Peniel Bible Camp? So I want to talk a little bit this afternoon about partnership in camp ministry. Obviously, nothing that we have not heard even this month in our missions month, you know, about partnership. And there in Philippians 1, you know, thanking the Lord for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. But what I want to look at is, let's make sure it is not doing anything. It is on this. There we go. So that was what we had initially, the theme of what we're talking about. So then the question is, why is camp an effective partner? What is it that not just Peniel Bible Camp does, but a good Christian camp is going to do for the local church? Well, I've come up with this statement that kind of summarizes a lot of that, and it's this. Camp is a place of spiritual saturation in a creation context with a planned program and an emphasis on discipled decisions. And each of those four points are essential to being an effective partner with the local church. First, there's going to be that spiritual saturation. It's a Christian camp. We have Christian goals in mind, and it's accomplished in a few different ways. One, the Word of God is diligently presented. In a typical week of camp, you have 9 chapel services. You have morning devotions, you have evening devotions. We call it our face-to-face time from the name Peniel in Genesis 32:30. We are constantly seeking to have the Word of God presented in a not just a voluminous fashion, but in an effective fashion. One that is an accurate presentation of the Word of God. Therefore, the speakers that we have in are going to be chosen specifically for that purpose. We don't choose speakers to come in just to bring numbers in. We choose speakers that are going to diligently present the Word of God. The next aspect would be that we're hoping that this is modeled consistently by godly staff. We don't just say, hey, anybody want to serve at camp? Come on up. Because in certain areas of that staff that we have, they are working with campers on a personal level, and we want the Word of God being presented and the lives of those counselors to be in lockstep with one another, so that we can be doing good ministry, effective ministry, with true spiritual saturation. A more practical aspect of this is that it's going to be supported properly in a program emphasis. We're talking more about our camps that we run, our program. We tailor our schedule to make sure that those times of Bible presentation are paramount. It's what we want to be the focus of the day. It's the focus of the morning. It's the focus of the evening. Now, is there fun in between? Absolutely. We want that to happen. We want them to enjoy not just the spiritual benefit they have, but the rest and the relaxation, the enjoyment they have from coming to camp. But there's a reason that in youth camps, when we have chapel, it's the last major element on the schedule. Other than obviously showers and stuff like that. But we want that to be there because that's what we want to leave with them as they ponder, as we let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts and minds. So we want that to be a completely spiritually saturated week or weekend or event that we are running. One way we do that is through the creation context. There are plenty of camps in plenty of locations that are beautiful settings. I kind of like ours. There are times when I was, oh man, I wish I had more elevations. That zip line could be really tall. Or if I'm going and I'm, you know, if we're driving through mountains, they're like, oh man, having a ravine with the creek through, that would be really cool. But God's given us a beautiful location right in the heart of the state. And so when you come into that, you can't help but be surrounded by the wonder of creation. I know of Christian camps that are very close to, I don't want to say civilization because we're close to civilization, but right across the street, there's a housing development. Or they're on a public lake, and so there, you know, are people out and about. We don't have that. We have a buffer. We have 360 acres. So much so that people trying to come to camp drive by the entrance sometimes. They don't even, oh, that's where it is? Oh, back that drive? And then when you come through those trees and it opens up, so many people, the first time they're there, is like, I had no idea. And to our shame, sometimes that's people who've lived in the county their whole lives. They had no idea. But when you're surrounded by the wonder of creation and the beautiful lakes, what peace, you know, shaded paths, peaceful lakes, rolling hills, you know, that you have there, our goal is that you consider then the majesty of the creator of that. That you look and you say, God did this. So that the principle of getting away from it all, getting in the middle of his creation, we can look at his creation, and Romans 1 says, you're without excuse then. Because you, by looking around, you see his power, you see his Godhead, his very divinity in the creation he made around you. So that then ultimately we can point them to the truth that's being shared from the Creator's very mouth. That's what we want them to do. So you can see how being out in the middle of nowhere actually works together with that spiritual saturation, so that when they're there, when they see creation, when they consider the Creator, then they believe the truth that has been shared from his heart to us. That's our goal. And so it has to take place then with a planned program. You're not just to go there and say, all right, boy, we hope you get some spiritual benefit by being here. Have at it. You know, we want to be able to plan some things in order to be able to accomplish those goals. Sam Brock, the founder of Ironwood, he's been mentioned many times here. He came up with this terminology. He called it the change of place and change of pace principle. You go somewhere different, not your usual surroundings. You're doing different things, not your normal routine. And when you do that, your senses are heightened. You're more aware. You're like, okay, what's coming next? Now, where do I go? And what is this? And so you are paying attention more to what's around you, so that hopefully you'll pay attention more when the word is presented. all of these working together to point to when the Word of God is shared, whether it's corporately, in small groups in your cabin, or individually as you meet with the Lord, or in counseling sessions. In order to do that, sometimes you have to eliminate influences and distractions. And that's what going away, staying somewhere overnight, in the middle of creation, can do. Now, it's important that we use the terms influences and distractions. Distractions aren't necessarily bad, but sometimes you're just distracted and you need to be able to focus. And so being there, I share with our staff kind of the concept of, we're distracting them from their distractions. We're giving them new things to be distracted by, but hopefully they're positive, beneficial, spiritual things. But coming to camp could be that we're eliminating some influences that aren't that great either. That they're coming into a good Christian spiritual environment where they can be convicted, where they can do business with the Lord. Or just solidify good friendships so that they can go home and be better prepared to face those influences again. And again, practically speaking, then we're very intentional about what we do in order to accomplish that. With the activities that we do, the schedule we have. Listen, there is some sort of, when you have, a family camp versus a youth camp, the schedules are going to be different. They have to be different. But in a youth camp, there's a reason. You want them a little tired at the end of the day. But there's a fine line between that and being too tired at the end of a day. You want them tired enough where they can calm down and pay attention in chapel. Too tired? Not paying attention in chapel anymore for a different reason. So there's a lot of intentionality that goes into that. But boy, we sure hope that decisions are being discipled. And I think if you have any familiarity with Peniel, we've talked a lot about not wanting the typical, what we would call, quote-unquote, camp decisions to take place. Where, listen, we would love for monumental, life-changing decisions to take place. But what do I mean by a camp decision, like the typical camp decision? Well, that same decision is made every time they come back. There's no growth. There's an emotional response. There's, in some cases, a manipulated response. And I don't mean in the cases at our camp. I'm just saying around the country, you will see that. And so what do we want to do? We want to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's why we're intentional about who we ask to come in and speak. So that they are pointing to Scripture. They're letting the Holy Spirit do that work. Don't you think that in that setting, we could convince a lot of kids to make decisions? Yep, we could. We could turn the screws. We could tell a good story. It's not what we're doing. We're presenting the Word of God in a creation context so that these decisions can be discipled in the proper way, both at camp and the limited time that we have, but also when they go home to their local church. So yes, we do provide moments of decision. It's not like we just, all right, here's a bunch of information, and we hope you utilize it well when you go home. No, there is going to be that element of trying to get them to make a good decision, especially as the Holy Spirit's convicting. But we're not going to push and pull. We're going to be guided, just as hopefully they're being guided by the Spirit. And I mentioned the local church. We absolutely prioritize the local church. We want the decisions that they've made, no matter how big or small those might be, to be followed up on, to be discipled in the right way, so that when they go back to their local church, then that church is saying, camp has been an effective partner for us. That we see the benefit of our young people, of our adults, of our families going to that camp because the right kind of decisions are made in the right way, with a program hopefully that's kind of fun at the same time. So then, how do we do that at camp, at Peniel? You know, how exactly do we accomplish that mission? Well, first of all, we do have that focus on the local church. And right now I'm speaking specifically for our program. I will admit that with the busyness I've had these last couple weeks, I've kind of taken some things I did in previous, like other churches, and kind of packaged it for us. So some of these things might be preaching to the choir, but it's helpful to be reminded of these things. We have pastoral direction of camps. Every camp that we run, we have a pastor who's the director of that week or that retreat. There's a reason for that. Probably because in the youth camp, discipline issues would be shepherded much more gently than if we had to deal with it. There's wisdom. There's that heart for people. We also rely on churches to provide staff. That goes to the partnership. Partnership's a two-way street. We don't consider this investment. We consider this partnership. There's investment in partnership, but normally it's mutual. And so we're asking local churches to help provide staff for that. We run on a volunteer staff. And it's absolutely vital. Yes, we can't have camp without campers, but we can't have camp without staff either. And so we ask for those churches to help with that and partner in that way. And then we develop personal relationships with churches. You know, it'd be great to have access to massive conferences and these youth rallies and all that to come set up a table and, hey, look at our camp. That's just not how we do it. There's a reason that I'm not here a lot in the first part of the year, because I'm either fostering relationships that we already have or developing new relationships with local churches. That's how we, if you want to say, grow. We grow relationships. That might result in numbers. It might not. But the relationships are being deepened because hopefully in our mind, we're doing it the right way. We are focusing on the church. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to not hear me talk a little bit. I put together a little video that kind of shows a little bit of this kind of concept and then kind of segues into the closing remarks as well. So let's see. I think they're normally thinking, wow, that's a lot of property. That's a lot of buildings. That's a lot of maintenance. You're really busy in the summers, aren't you? The partnership that this camp has, or this church has with camp, really spans about what I would say 10 events, roughly. You know, between retreats and Memorial Day and summer camps, you know, about 10 events, roughly. We actually host probably about 40 events throughout a year. And that number's growing. Now, they're not all as big as Team One, obviously. And those could range anything from missionaries needing a stopover stay, which we love to do as ministry for them, to running a teen camp for some churches that want to get together, to family retreats, to Christian schools, which we just finished up, where it could be really low energy for us, where the missionary just wants a place to stay, or really high energy for us, where we plan, cook, clean, teach, and do everything for the outdoor education camp we just ran. So they run the gamut. But we are partnering with local churches across the region and even country when that happens. And so we want to provide a facility for the local church as well, not just the program that we run, but what God has blessed us with. We want to be able to benefit the local church, even if they don't come to our camp programs. And so we will customize events for the church. We will allow them to say, oh, you want to do a little men's group? Okay. We have a church in Indianapolis that the only thing they've ever used us for is a winter retreat, a winter teen retreat. That's all they do. And trust me, I've talked with their pastors. But that's all they want to do. And so what do I say? Praise the Lord, we could partner with you then. And sometimes we have groups that do that, and it's only every other year. That's okay. And sometimes those groups develop into coming to our youth camps, and that's even better. But regardless, we want our property to be utilized by the local church. It does us no benefit, both spiritually and financially, just to have that camp sit vacant. We want it to be used. And so when I say we're really busy all year long, I mean it. Because from Memorial Day through the end of this month, or actually the end of next month, October, we will have had something on camp every single week. It could be just a 1 or 2 day event. It could be multiple in the same week. But we want that property to be utilized for God's glory as His gospel gets proclaimed. And so therefore, we want to be partners in ministry with the church. Through our program, through our facility, all to God's glory. By having a place where spiritual saturation in a creation context with a planned program and an emphasis on disciple decisions takes place. So as I close, let me just give you a brief challenge. Biblical partnership, that koinonia, is rooted in relationship, vertically and horizontally, and therefore results in deeper relationships. We find this in 1 John 1:3, where he uses that term koinonia, uses it in fellowship here, but the idea is the same. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. But what's the foundation of that fellowship? The foundation of the horizontal fellowship is vertical. And indeed, our fellowship, not just his, but our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we want to develop in these partnerships. A relationship with each other that deepens our relationship with the Lord. Now, just like our partnerships with local churches can vary, those biblical partnerships in Scripture even varied a lot. There could be some limited partnerships. There could be where, you know, well, either based on immaturity or based on distance or based on some issues, maybe the partnership isn't as developed as you would like it to be. Maybe it's more one-sided. And that's individually or corporately. A couple examples, Demas. Yeah, that was a limited partnership. Even the church at Corinth, Paul was having to address some stuff there. You're not quite ready. I want you to be. But then there's another level. There are growing partnerships. One where we see things happening, see maturity taking place, seeing mutual goals, common interests. They're working together now. Some examples of that, John Mark. Hey, you're coming around. I see benefit from you. You're profitable now. Let's keep it going. Or the church at Colossae, where it's like, you know what? I've not even been there yet. But I'm thanking the Lord for you, and I see what's happening there, and I can't wait to come and be a part of it. But then there are those devoted partnerships. That it's already deep. That it's already developed. That mutual investment is taking place. They're working together hand in hand and seeing great things done. I think of Timothy and the church at Ephesus, where there was no need to say, okay, I need to correct you here, I need this. No, there was just encouragement, there was work. Boy, they were together. We have that range in partnerships as well at camp. We have limited partnerships where a few kids come to camp, and that's about it. Okay. We have growing partnerships where people are saying, oh, that's pretty neat. We can start being involved. We're going to send kids, and we might even do our own event here and there. We have a church in Indiana, in South Bend. They set their Christian school for the first time this past fall, or actually this is fall, in August. Now the pastor's talking about doing a men and boys retreat or a family weekend. We'll see where it goes from there. That's a growing partnership. But then we have devoted partnerships like Westerville Bible Church. That there's no question. We know where this is. It's fully developed, fully engaged, wanting to see what's best for one another. So I'll leave you with this maybe negative example of maybe what we shouldn't do. I don't know if I've used this illustration here or not. Anyone recognize that guy? You might recognize the name. If you do, don't shout it out or don't say, oh, I know he is this. His name's Ronald Wayne. He started the company with two other young guys. He was the old guy. He was in his 30s. Started a partnership with two young guys. Had a lot of promise. Started this business. He was kind of the adult in the room, I guess you would say. He was going to be in charge of the office and all that kind of stuff. And a few weeks into the arrangement, he was like, this might not be the best for me. He said, you know, this first big order we just took out, that company is not used to paying their bills. I'm the only one with any kind of equity here. I'm the only one with a house and a family. If this gets defaulted, it's coming back on me. I don't want this. So he went to the other two guys, and he said, I'm going to sell my share back. He only had 10% anyway. So he sold his 10% back for $800. I think this was back in the 70s, mid-70s. Sold his 10% back for $800. All right, they went their separate ways. Well, this guy Ronald, he not only was the mature one, but he was also kind of creative. He drew the company's first logo. Looks like that. Kind of hard to see. You know, logo people nowadays wouldn't do something that intense and all those little lines. As they want simple. Well, if you can see that, there's a famous scientist sitting under a fruit tree. That logo is a lot more simplified nowadays. Apple. He sold his 10% investment for $800. Recently, Apple was valued at over $3 trillion. Kind of lost out on that deal, didn't he? The lesson is this. Don't miss out on investing in something that has eternal reward. Because if you back out of that, and I'm not talking even about just Peniel Bible Camp, but if you back out on spiritual ministry and the investment that you have in discipling others, in coming along the side, and seeing God's gospel proclaimed and his glory magnified, then you're going to miss out. And we're not just talking about 10%. We're talking about eternity. So don't back out of an investment opportunity you have and miss out on the benefit on the backside, which is absolutely eternal. And that is our ministry. I am finished. Would you like me to close in prayer? All right, let's pray.